Well, I don't want to let the broads cast down. I feel like this is a unique
Okay.
privilege that has been afforded me, and I need to hold up my end.
Did you may make an appearance in our new intro?
Or in our new intro a lot.
am.
You're also now the first people to find out that we have a new intro.
Yeah.
I'm also like
Wait, please
only
tell me
third.
you kept the Spice Girls.
The Broadscast. Broadscast.
Broadscast podcast.
Sam Chang.
I'm here for her takedowns of fools.
Georgia Twist.
I had a moment where I thought that's not his name. I'm going to redo that.
Danielle Huntley.
Fuck you, Sham Doss.
Vanessa Yang.
Jing.
Vanessa's entire purpose to make me feel old.
Expert WAG reporter Mallory McFall.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
Mock Girl Summer. Our impact. Our impact.
Hello and welcome to this special draft roundtable episode of the Broadscast. I am Georgia. I will be the host of this episode, and I am joined by other members of the Broadscast, though they are going to attempt to remain kind of silent because I am currently looking at a Zoom call screen of eight people. And though chaos is our general kind of ethos, we will try to limit the amount of voices speaking. So you will probably hear from Sam and Vanessa, and later Mal is also supposed to join. Basically, we wanted to do this episode because we forgot the draft was happening. And so we called all our friends to help us out and forgot that they all worked for Elite Prospects. So it's a draft roundtable. It's an Elite Prospects roundtable. I'll let everyone introduce themselves. Maybe JD, do you want to start?
JD Burke, the editor-in-chief of Elite Prospects and a fan favorite of Vancouver Canucks fans for my appearances on TSN 1040.
Cam Robinson, this is what I look like all the time, so you guys don't need video evidence to prove it. Also working at Elite Prospects, I think the whole gang's here, and managing editor at Dauber Prospects.
Lauren Kelly, I just joined the Elite Prospects team as an OHL scout. I also do freelance digital video for Sportsnet.
And I'm Rachel. I also scout for Elite Prospects, and I am quite literally studying hockey analytics for my master's. So that's me.
So I guess I wanted to start just quickly with an opening question of what do we need to know about this year's draft? What makes it different than other draft years? Are there different trends going on, et cetera?
So this year, other than obviously it being in October, I think that this is a unique class in the sense that, you know, going back 18, 24 months ago, it was heralded as a potentially legendary class, you know, going to rival 03 as one of the deepest and most impactful groups. And as we've gotten closer to the draft date, I think that it's become clear to most people outside of maybe Pierre LeBrun and Pierre Maguire that it's not going to be seven rounds of superstars that we're looking at. It's a top heavy group that, you know, there's a couple of big pipe swingers at the very top there. And then we fall into that 9, 10, 11 range, really good players. And then it's a mixed bag. And we kind of hit a wall around pick, depends on who you're talking to, 30 or 40. And then again, it's, you know, some teams we're going to hear it like we do every year where guys are going to be walking out of the fourth round and being like, we got a guy, we had 80 spots higher than the other teams. And we hear that every year anyways, but I think more so than ever that there's going to be a huge disparity in draft list between teams outside of that first round.
I also think this year, one of the things that I noticed was I completely agree with Cam's assessment. But I also noticed that there's a lot of conversation about who's a do not draft, because I feel like there's a couple of skill players that are definite no's for some teams, but then on other teams' lists they have them really high, and so I feel like there's a lot of that discrepancy between who thinks what is valuable. And much to all of your delights, there are a few short kings in this draft, so we love that.
We always stand a short king. I think that this draft's really fascinating because, I mean, we've got a pretty rough idea of what the top 10 is going to look like. But once it hits about pick 11, pick 12, it is just completely wide open. Like, I could see any number of players going in that kind of, I don't know, 10 to 20 range, and it wouldn't surprise me. And even some, like, really late entrants into that group, like, you know, the Ridley Greggs of the world. And perhaps if you're really feeling adventurous, a Tristan Robbins type. Like there's a lot of people who are going to go early in the first round that I think are going to catch us by surprise. And perhaps that's just the byproduct of people having more time to do their homework and do their research and watch tape. And it's certainly going to make for a really compelling draft at the very least. So from a content perspective, big fan of that myself. Got to be honest there.
Would you take Jack Quinn at 5? I feel like, Lauren, would you do that?
God, no.
Hit rich for my blood, too.
Yeah,
I definitely say that I agree with what everybody else has said. But I also find it interesting that I think a lot of, like, the prospects, maybe say, like, top 30, top 40, a lot of them have earlier birthdays than I think was what is usual. Like, there are a lot of players born in late 2001, early January, early February 2002. At least for like the top players. So I feel like, you know, players like Lafreniere, like a late 2001, right? So, but the there's a lot of players who are born in the earlier half of the draft class that I feel like are top players in this draft.
Oh, that's interesting. This is also interesting because of this thing, we talked about this yesterday on the episode, but where they're just sending 30 hats to all the players that might go in the first round. And if there's a lot of discrepancy from, as JD was saying, like from 10 and on or whatever, like how many fucking hats are they making? Like a lot?
Yeah, I feel like we might want to avoid a repeat of the Zach Sinishin type of thing where the guy wasn't, I don't even think he was rated in the first round. And then he goes 15. Like, do those guys have hats? I would assume, like, I remember we sent a list in of like all the people we wanted to like interview at the combine. And I would think that the NHL is probably doing something similar where they send out, okay, who are your top three or top 30 guys kind of thing, or guys you could take in the first round. And we got to send hats to those guys.
So wow. Does Lafreniere get 30 to 31 hats?
No, he gets maybe two. That would be kind of funny.
Until Tampa trades up for number one or something like that. Hey.
Oh yeah. I feel like that should just not be allowed.
That would be so funny.
Imagining all the hats having a name bar on the side too for the individual prospects, and just like 10 years from now, we're going to be watching videos about like Africa or something. There's going to be a kid with like an Alexi Lafreniere Vancouver Canucks hat.
Oh my God. That would be very funny. Okay. So our next question we can dive into. This is more something that interests me, and I guess it's particularly like, I didn't really think about this until JD mentioned it, but obviously you have so much more time to look at these lists because of COVID and the way that the draft was pushed back. And I'm just curious about what your guys's approach to assessing players is. And in particular, because I'm me, do you have pet peeves with players? Like, do you see a player do something and you just automatically go, no, no more, I'm out, I can't do this?
Yes, and I can actually give you an example of one such player. I won't name them because, I mean, like, I don't know, I don't want to just rip the poor kid, but like there's this one player who is thought very highly of who could go even in the second round. He's a goal scorer, he's going to go to the NCAA. He comes from a very rich hockey family, but he doesn't like, his habits are all terrible. He does a lot of the fake tough guy shit. Like he'll never throw a meaningful hit. But once that puck left somebody's stick, he's there 5 seconds later throwing the dirtiest, stupidest hit. He's really easy to get off of his game. He doesn't support transition. He doesn't play defensive hockey. He's like the ultimate, like, if you've played pickup hockey, that one asshole who just doesn't come across your own red line, right? He just wants to create a highlight reel goal every shift. Like, this is that player. And I couldn't look past that for my own personal ranking. Now in terms of the process, I think it's a lot of hard work, I guess is the easy way to put it. Like you just show up to ranks, you talk to people, you create a short list based on people's birthdays. Like you go, okay, this one is a potential 2020. So I give him a yellow, highlighter mark. So I know to pay attention to them. This one's 2022. Okay. That's blue highlighter or whatever, that sort of thing, right? Like you just want to know at the beginning stages who is eligible, who isn't, and then from there you're just constantly culling the herd. You're just constantly like you start with as big a list as possible and then you're just constantly paring it down and finding out who warrants more attention, who warrants less, and adjusting your process accordingly. Now of course that I can't speak for everyone, that's just my process, but I'm sure everyone else has a pretty interesting one too.
Anyone else is different? Do you just all follow the JD Burke style?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't either. So go ahead, Cam.
No, I mean, it's part of that as well too. It's he's right. You got to go broad scope early on, and so I've switched gears now and started looking into the 21 class more the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, and I'm more of watching players and then adding to that list rather than having a big list and culling it down. So I'm going by, you know, I'm not going to write a guy down next to a number on a board until I've seen him, I don't know, half a dozen times. And often, you know, you see these guys while you're scouting the year previous or even 2 years previous, you're going to get glimpses of them. You're going to see what they're all about within reason. But until I'm really focused in on one or two players in a game, I'm not going to make any judgment calls on them. And then, yeah, you just kind of build a list. I've learned in recent years that too big is no good, is that it doesn't help anybody if you don't have a firm grasp on that player. So running a list 200 deep, 500 deep, as you see like some of these crazy long lists out there, is just, for me, it's not realistic. And so, you know, keep it at 75, 85, you know, maybe a working list of 110, but you feel good about putting out 80 of them. That's how I usually go about things. And then as far as players that I don't like, you know, there's not one thing a player can do. But if they're doing that same one thing over and over again, that's when I lose patience for it. And so it's the intelligence factor. And that's going to weigh hugely in my assessment, is that, you know, do they make a mistake and then do they learn from it? Or are they doing it again that next shift or that next game and over and over and over again? And, you know, coaching, it's the same way. It makes you want to pull your hair out. And scouting, it's kind of the same business. Is if you can't learn from your mistakes, you're obviously destined to repeat them. And that's not going to help you in translating up.
Yeah, I think I might be a little bit different. And I would say that my scouting process has evolved specifically over the last year as I've started to do research. I think much like Mitch Brown, I take a pretty analytical approach to it too. I also have two things. So if I'm in a
room. Ooh, no stats, just vibes.
I'm sorry, continue.
Also, like if I'm in a rank, I like to, I'll put everyone's name down and I'll highlight it like JD. But realistically, what I'm doing is I want to see who stands out. So I think you can't show up to a rink saying, okay, I'm just going to watch these players. You have to see who stands out within the game. So if a player is standing out that I don't necessarily have anything on per se, then that absolutely gets taken down. And from there, so if I watch the game, then I'll come home. I'll usually, if I'm scouting an individual, then I'll just watch that individual shifts and I will only watch him. So I'll just follow him around the ice, whether the puck is there or not. Whereas if I'm scouting a team, I'll just watch the game on a whole. Then I'll look at the stat line. I will not look at the stat line before I watch the game because I don't think that that's very productive. And then I'll look at the kid's birthday. I'll look at development curve. So how has he improved? I try and talk to coaches as much as I do other scouts just to, I think it's good to get different perspectives. But from a pet peeve standpoint, I look at it, because I also coach, I look at it from a perspective of, is this particular thing fixable or is it inherent in the player's play? So that's what I'll look at. And then from a coaching perspective, I'll put the hat on and say, okay, if I was a coach, would I want this type of play or player on my team? There is a particular player that I can think of in this draft class that fits this bill. He plays the game like he's playing NHL 20. And I don't quite think that that's going to be successful at the NHL level. And so that would be something for me where I would say, okay, that's a huge red flag because you're not playing a video game. You're playing hockey.
I think I know who you're talking about. Would you say that this is a particularly strange player in London, perhaps?
Yes, that is exactly who I'm getting at.
Yes, okay.
But yeah, that's my process. So I like to add numbers to it, build matrices and that stuff. The other thing is if you give off a bad vibe, so bad attitude, let's say, like I'll watch for that because that's a huge thing.
I would definitely say I agree with what Rachel said, and where you go to a game and you kind of watch for players that stand out instead of coming in with like a list of players that you do want to watch heading into. Obviously, like my ability to kind of watch games is pretty limited because of school and other things, but I guess like pet peeves, bad pinches by defensemen are one that drive me crazy, especially for defensemen that are like a lot more offensively inclined. And then I guess for certain other players that you can tell that their brains just kind of shut off like halfway through a game and they're like done on the ice, even though there's half a game left, and I'm sure there's lots of players like that out there, but that's a big pet peeve of mine too. But yeah, for as far as like looking at players to evaluate, I don't come in every season. Like, obviously I have maybe 10 to 15 players I know, like, I need to watch just because they're highly rated. I'm going to be top picks in the upcoming draft. But I look at players because I watched a lot of Steelheads games this season. That's probably the only OHL team I got to see in person this year. I was supposed to get a front next game in too, but that didn't happen. Someone like James Hardy didn't stand out to me just on the roster, but after watching a couple of games in Mississauga, I thought he was one of the best players on the ice.
Okay, let's move into more broadcast-oriented questions. So, like I said, we abide by a strict mantra of no stats, just vibes.
Sorry.
No, it's mainly just because none of us are good at math. Well, maybe Vanessa, because you did that after school program thing, but the rest of us suck. Oh, wait, Sam got a minor in commerce. You're also probably good. Okay, basically just me and Mal suck at math.
I majored in commerce.
And also, I guess this ties into the fact that the Canucks have, I think they're drafting 83rd overall? 82, right. 83?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Third round.
Yeah, third round.
Okay, so we want to know, who are the players who exemplify the broadcast mantra of no stats, just vibes?
Tim Stützle. We will start there, and then we will move to Antonio Stranges.
Oh, what? Wow. These names are amazing. Tell us more.
Yeah, I think we'll take a poll. Antonio Stranges definitely gives off vibes when he plays, and they might be vibes that cause heart palpitations, but nonetheless, they are vibes.
I mean, yeah, like Antonio Stranges, because he skates in that Mohawk formation, like he opens his, I hope I'm
like
not,
Jeff Skinner.
Yeah, I'm not going too inside baseball right now, but like he opens his hips to skate so he can scan the entire ice. And he's always just on the verge of getting, like, completely annihilated.
And he's also making really interesting decisions in his own zone, like shooting the puck on his own net.
Or like, carrying the puck through the crease.
Yeah, that too.
Which is the ultimate vibe, if you ask me. I don't know if it's a positive vibe, but it is a vibe nonetheless.
Yeah.
Hey, some people like chaos.
And I would
that is the epitome of who we are.
Yeah. I would like to second Rachel on the vibes king himself, Tim Stützle. Like I have, so like I ended up interviewing all these kids across the hockey world, and Europeans rule. Canadians suck.
Specifically the Germans.
And yes, specifically the Germans. They're all such sweet boys. Like Tim Stützle was on our show, and this is a guy who's like going to go in the top three picks probably. And he's just like, oh, I just hope I get drafted. Oh, this would be such an honor. I don't care where I go. Like just the most humble kid. And like, apparently, I don't know if you've heard of this, Rachel, but these are vibes that I think we can all pick up on. Apparently hockey is a working class sport in Germany. And that's
this why, is correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. And that's why every time you talk to like a German who's playing hockey growing up, like they have these sweet stories of how like their parents had to work two jobs or travel like 8 hours to get them to a rink or and they're all like just super humble and I don't know, just sweet kids. They're very nice and easy to deal with. And Tim Stützle is like the ultimate embodiment of that.
He's also super chaotic on the ice too. Like he'll just try things that generally maybe shouldn't be tried, but he does it. And if it works, it's great. But yeah, back to the kind of like the working class thing. A lot of times actually in Europe, it's the same for hockey in Canada. So if you want your kid to be in an academy for soccer, that is, if we think hockey here is expensive, you should see how expensive academy is for soccer in Europe. It's a lot. So hockey's definitely the second sport in Germany to soccer. And so that working class thing kind of lines up because it's like, okay, we can't afford to put you in academy, even though every German kid plays soccer growing up. So I'll work two jobs and we can play hockey because it's done a little bit differently over there. So it's actually a little bit more accessible.
That's really interesting. Okay, who else? Who do we have? Cam, who are your no stats, just vibes?
Just vibes, eh? Straight vibes.
Straight vibes.
I mean, if we're talking vibes and we're talking guys that are going to be around at 80, you know, I'm looking, he's probably not going to be around anyways, but Ozzie Weisblatt, the kid's got vibes. He plays just a frenetic, havoc-filled forechecking game, loves to just muck it up and get in there and have a good time. Teams hate playing against him, but you love having him on your team. He's got three other brothers, and all their names start with O. I think it's Orca, Ozzy. Oh, God, I'm blanking.
Ocean.
Ocean.
I remember this. Is he in the dub?
They're all going to be dub players.
And they all can do American Sign Language, I think, because their mother is hard of hearing or legally deaf. So they've all been like super involved with that. So that is a vibe that I'm on.
Yeah,
give me this kid on the Canucks.
Yeah, that guy's vibing. And I'm down with it because my two kids are Olakai and Osha. And if we have a third, like, we got to go Oedipus or something, right? I got to throw another O out there. Maybe not Oedipus. That might not work out well for me.
I was going to say, that would be very bad for you. Don't go with that one.
No doubt, right? So yeah, he's probably my vibiest guy that probably won't be there at 80, but you know, there's a chance.
Vibe submission. Like, a light bulb just went off. Caden Gooley, Cam, are you with me?
He's got vibes. He ain't around at 80.
I'd agree. I'd be remiss if I didn't throw Dylan Holloway's name in here, not because he's one of my draft sons, but because his nickname at Wisconsin is Fridge. He's built like a truck, and he plays like one on the ice. And yeah, my favorite memory of his this season is when he smashed two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream after a game after midnight this
season.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, okay. Huge vibes.
I've got a very funny Caden Gooley story, and now that light bulb's gone off. So when I was in the Czech Republic for the Hlinka Gretzky, like, you could get pretty much right ice level. Like, you could be against the glass or whatever if you wanted. It was like a total barn ice rink. And I remember there was one game, I think Canada was playing the Czech Republic, and Caden Gooley at the end of, I think it was the first or second period, like, this game was getting really physical, which of course suits him because he loves to do murders. That's kind of his thing. At the end of this period, he ends up in a brawl with like the entire Czech team. Like, he's fighting three dudes at once. And just like, because I was ice level, because I was actually going to talk to a coach of one of the other teams, I was able to hear Caden Gooley just screaming at them. And it wasn't like coherent or cogent thoughts. Like, at one point, Caden Gooley, because he's fought all these people at once, his helmet is halfway up his face. Like, you can see the chin strap from his cage, like, just covering this part of his face. And he's yelling monkey noises at the Czech roster. And I couldn't make sense of it. And I had to process that and go interview a coach in the same like 2-minute stretch. And it was truly an experience to behold.
Okay. On the same kind of vein, because usually they evoke some sort of no stats, just vibes ethos. I want to talk about the short Kings, particularly because I am 5'2" and short people are often overlooked. Case in point, Braden Point, who dropped to the third round. I think
79th overall.
Yeah.
There's definitely some short Kings at the top end of this draft.
What? Yeah. Really? Are we trending towards short Kings?
Oh yeah. Lauren and I, we're going to get into that, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
Hit us with the short Kings. And then JD, you can give a tall person just for Audrey.
I feel like Lauren and I, we tackle Rossi and Perfetti together?
Sure. I had to pull up my rankings because I only had short Kings in the third round prepped, but
I have those two short Kings, and then my ultimate short King that is, I stan him no matter what. And so, yeah, I feel like, okay, if we're talking third round, my short King is Leighton Moore.
Oh, that's a good one.
He plays for Oshawa. He could play forward. He could play defense. Super creative. I love watching him play because he's also not afraid to get physically involved. And he will go to the net front to score a goal. Like, the man went belly first into the net at one of the games I was at to score. And so that's a vibe that I'm here for. And then your other short Kings, and everyone here has seen these guys play because they're going to go in the top 10, Cole Perfetti and Marco Rossi. I think they're both like 5'8", and that might be generous.
My short Italian boys.
5'8", 5'9", yeah.
Yeah, like
my Nona would be so proud.
Yeah, I have seen these gentlemen in person, and I think 5'8 is generous, but they'll both be in the top 10. They're both going to be probably top 6 players with whatever team they're at, so long as their development doesn't get screwed up. But definitely, like, I could see Cole Perfetti being a 40-goal scorer that's 5'7".
Yeah, don't they make, like, Lucas Raymond look tall?
Yes.
Like,
short Kings.
Yeah.
I like how Perfetti's just like losing an inch every couple of sentences here. He's ranked 5'10 on for Central Scouting.
He's not 5'10.
Like, no, you know what? This dude's 5'4". He's out there just sniping goals. His jersey's hanging at his skates.
But yeah, those are my short kings.
You go.
I have a couple. I have Tristan Robbins, which we've already mentioned, and Danil Gushchin, who is going to play with the Ice Dogs this season in the OHL. So that should be really exciting.
And those are guys like in the third
in the third round. Yeah, Robbins is, I think, 5'11", and Gushchin is 5'8". Yeah, super highly skilled guys. Maybe some defensive game inconsistencies, but, I mean, high upside, right?
Not even maybe, definitely. Not even maybe.
Yeah.
I got one for you. Brett Berard's my boy there, and I like this kid. He's wee. He's very wee. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't play physical. But the kid's got upside at 5'8" or whatever, and he misses next year's draft class by less than a week. So he's just a baby for this group. He's got the baby face. Yeah, right? He's just adorable.
Oh, he's just a little boy bander.
We need to pull up like a picture and just like put him up there, the sweet Brett Berard. I love these kids that are super young for the crop too, because often they have a lot of runway left ahead of them versus these old aged and weathered and jaded 19-year-olds that are going to go up on the stage there next week.
Like Quentin Byfield.
Yes, that old man, Quentin Byfield.
No, he's like an August birthday.
16th.
I hear Rachel really dislikes him as a person too.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely terrible and would never be welcome at my house, said no Dory ever.
JD, go. Give us your short king.
Oh, a short king first. Okay. I've got two short kings. They're both defensemen. Anton Johansson, out of Sweden. I think he's about 5'9", and he's very underrated, and it's very unfair to him. I don't think that people respect his offensive instincts enough. I think that he's getting overlooked for a teammate that he's clearly better than, in my estimation. And another short king, and this one's just on the cusp. I think he's about 5'10". I don't know if that qualifies as a short king, but I'll offer him up anyway. Ethan Edwards, out of the AJHL. He's not only a short king, he is a frail king as well, a small king, if you will.
We love a frail king.
Yeah, he's a very petite lad, and you know, just so physically underdeveloped. I think he's like 150 pounds or something, and like he just looks tiny out there. But he skates extremely well. He's somebody who's on my short list for the Canucks with their first pick in the third round, and he's going to Michigan too, right? Like if you're getting picked out of the AJHL to go to Michigan, you're probably you can play. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get that if you're not capable defender. So he skates well. He can move the puck well. Good offensive instincts. I'm a fan of his. Now, in terms of the opposite end of the spectrum, because Audrey matters, and we need to respect Audrey's needs as well.
Okay, go. Give us the tall person.
Jack Finley. Come on, JD. You know you want it.
I know. I'm doing Audrey visibility right now. So, yeah, you got Jack Finley. He's a very tall boy. 6'5", I think. Not 5 foot.
Also born like late September or early September. So he's a young one.
He's very young.
But he's a man.
He's definitely a man.
He's a man.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Here's what Audrey's really going to like. Somebody needs to fix him. His his offensive capabilities aren't quite at a high enough level, I think, to be anything more than like a Freddie Gauthier type at the NHL level.
Which means don't take him in the first round.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I can just hear now. We can fix him. So that's Jack Finley, another tall boy, Joni Jurmo, 6'4", out of Finland. Really, really good skater. Moves the puck well. Good in the offensive zone. He's a little bit volatile. Responsible for some of the most terrific defensive gaffes I've seen this year. But again, maybe someone can fix him. There's also William Bolinder, very similar to Joni Jurmo, except Swedish. So those are some of the tall kings that I kind of put on the short list for Audrey. And I had to make sure that I put a Swede in there as well, given her affinity for Sverige, Sweden.
I'm surprised no one mentioned Murat for short kings, but
that would have been Cam's answer. That's Cam's.
Yeah, I'm surprised Cam didn't.
Or Emil Andre.
Well, I just thought we were going deep cuts. You know, I thought we were going deep cuts. Murat.
Oh, right, he's supposed to go in the first round.
Right. Well, you know, he's probably gonna go like 32 or something. Right? But I do love me some Murat Kuznetdinov. it's taken me all year to get that name. I probably still am not pronouncing it right.
I will pay $400 to watch an NHL GM attempt to pronounce that on night one of the draft.
Oh my God, please.
I'll go for technical difficulties right at that moment. Murad.
Him and Shakir.
Oh yeah.
No draft list.
No. Those poor guys are going to get their names because you can't just walk over and be like, hey, how do you pronounce your name?
I mean, they butchered Thomas Harley's name at the draft last year. They can butcher anybody's name. They called him Harley Thomas.
Someone butchered the name Timothy, okay? Like,
Vanessa's favorite thing is like, who was it? Stan Smeal saying Puck Olson's name? Something happened mid-speech because
my favorite is that he had the sheet in his hand that had the name. And he went like, Podsfolvin? I don't know. He threw like an F and a V. I don't know.
It's like just the Russian guy we wanted.
Vasily Pod.
Okay. I want your draft hot takes. Give me your hottest takes.
The best player in the draft will not go first overall.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yes, Cam. Yes.
That's it. That's all I got. I'm just going to say it. Just leave it out there. Just drop the bomb and walk away.
A good hot take.
Okay.
Who has hotter?
Who's a hotter take? Okay.
I wouldn't take Tim Stutzel with a top five pick.
Yeah, there she is.
I have something similar along the lines of Lucas Raymond over Tim Stutzel, but
yes,
that is Lord. It.
We stand.
And Quentin Byfield belongs at two and or even yes. one, and anyone Only who says him. Anything else is wrong.
Yeah.
My hot take is that everybody who's like poo-pooing the thought of Jake Sanderson in the top 10 is going to look very silly in like 3 years.
But not in the top three.
I mean, not in
oh
the top
Oh God, no.
Because I've seen that. I've also seen Jack Quinn in the top five. And I'm like, please, please stop.
Someone in Ottawa needs to stop talking.
Yes.
So whoever it is needs to stop.
That's just like or Ottawa in general.
Their owner probably needs to not.
Just an evergreen statement for Ottawa.
Yeah. If somebody just told Eugene Melnick that talking costs money,
he would never speak again.
He would never speak again, exactly.
We got some hot takes. We had some spicy takes there.
Oh, here's Mal.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hello,
Mal.
Mallory, why is your video not on?
I don't know, dude. Okay, the only reason I showed up is because I need for you to tell me if anybody from Providence College is good and if the Providence Friar is going to be drafted.
Guys, I was just talking about Brett Berard. The kid's going to Providence.
There you go.
Now we covered some frail kings, not just short, but they're frail. So they need like the frail ones.
Like Parker Ford, we also did not cover, but he goes to Providence. And JD loves Parker Ford.
No, I don't love Parker Ford. I think he's like an okay mid-round pick. I think Russ is the one who loves Parker Ford.
Well, does like anybody use like scholarship, does it include having to be the Friar on skates? Like
I don't think the two,
I don't know if that's involved.
I don't know if the two Providence skaters that we've discussed are actually big enough to fill out the Friar.
Yeah. That thing actually like gives me nightmares.
Like, so the Friar's
cool.
collapsing in the middle, like over Brett Berard's head, like the weight of the top of it would collapse.
Just truly horrifying.
It would be the Friar as a bendy straw, basically, if that were to happen.
Mal, do you have any other questions you would like to address to the room?
No, that was really why I showed up.
Just for the Providence Friar.
Do we have any nice Irish boys? But not Boston Irish boys. They have to be nice Irish boys.
No, for sure. Those are the worst kind. Let me just see here. I mean, Jack Finley. Finley is a bit of an Irish name.
I think that's Irish.
Let me see here. What else? Sean
he's
Farrell.
He's also... Oh.
Farrell counts. But he's
Farrell's a short king, too.
He is a short king. And he's a Boston boy, too. So I guess he doesn't work. Yeah, sorry. Let's... All the Irish names I'm stumbling upon, it's like Boston area.
Because there's so many Irish people in Boston.
I know. Okay, I found one. Connor McLennan, and he's also a short king, and he plays in Winnipeg.
Ooh, good.
So I think we've stumbled upon perhaps the one locale where, I don't know, that might be worse than Boston.
So mean. Yeah. So mean. Oh, I was going to ask, what team do you think is going to leave this draft significantly better? Like, who's gonna leave the draft and be like, we fucking owned. Everyone else sucks.
Well, I feel like the Rangers is the easy answer, so I feel like no one should be able to say that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Not the Rangers. They're no fun.
So I've got, like, the monkey paw answer, which is Ottawa, but they're only going to have those players for 3 years until they need a stand player contract, and then they're gone.
What about the fact that, like, yes, Ottawa might leave significantly better, but they also might galaxy brain and not leave significantly better. I feel like teams with, like, the 3 first-round picks are teams that are maybe, I don't want to say known for overthinking things or trying to be cute, but I feel like, yes, that's the answer.
I mean, like, okay, I've heard from people that it's going to be one of the teams with 3 first-round picks that drafts Tyler Cleven, who again, Audrey would appreciate, 6'4", going to North Dakota, I believe, and can't really move the puck, can't really do most hockey things, but he skates well, and he's tall. So.
If history's any indication, it's going to be Carolina. They just seem to find all these great players in the late rounds. They're not afraid of these short boys or these little Euro kids with skill. They're just out there taking swings.
Yeah, I was going to say Carolina, too, because I just think that they're so good at finding the value late on, and I feel like we'd be remiss based on the team that just won the cup to not point out that Tampa Bay probably is going to get someone in the 4th round that is going to be a star for them, because why wouldn't they?
They don't actually have any picks in the 4th round. I think they have 2 picks in the 3rd, the 5th, and the 6th, or they're getting 2 someone. In the 4th. They have 6 picks in, like, the mid rounds. Like,
yeah, they're getting someone. I would put a mortgage payment on it.
Look, as long as they're not picking in the 1st round, Tampa Bay are going to make amazing decisions. But
this is true. As long as they don't, and as long as they don't take defensemen, because they seem to have no luck there.
It's like Tampa Bay, will they be able to find success in the middle rounds if they can't ritualistically light a 1st round pick on fire? These are the
That's a good point.
Okay, I want to ask one last incendiary question. Do you think the draft should exist?
No.
Jordan, let's force people into their jobs and their locations for like 10 years. Why wouldn't you want that, right?
The draft should not exist.
I don't have to put this in the podcast. I'm just genuinely curious, because
just like every year, free agency,
every year, or like, yeah, like what soccer does. I don't know. Every year I find it so funny.
So no, it shouldn't. It absolutely should not. It's like one of the worst labor mechanisms in professional sports.
It's awful.
In the world. But it has to happen, because otherwise we're out of work. So it needs to be a thing.
That's fair.
But also, like, I think that the case for the draft is, like, Florida would be hooped without the draft. You know, and or maybe Arizona, like these small
Ottawa.
Like, who's gonna be signing to play in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, it's all like parody.
Yeah, exactly. Or Winnipeg. They don't even have an airport. So, like,
I feel like the draft is like a necessary evil, but how it's done, I would disagree with. Like, I would say that we need to do away with restricted free agency for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that they should draft them older, like how they do as well?
Ooh, like this younger. Year where they're all 19?
I disagree.
Yeah, I think it should be younger.
Oh, you think younger?
Yeah, I say like 14. Just take big swings and then you're committed.
Oh, God.
Hey, let's all get to the bantam rinks and put our stamps on these 14-year-old prepubescent kids and be like, this is my guy.
I think the last thing we need is more old white men evaluating young children.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, I mean, when you frame it like that.
Yeah. I fucked up, and I was supposed to frame my hot take question as, what would make the old hockey men really mad, and what would make Art Ross roll over in his grave? Fuck. I'll re-record that intro.
You blew it.
I know. I fucked up. I picked Art Ross, too. Especially, I did some research for that one.
Not Lord Stanley, yeah.
Is there anything, any last things that we should know about the draft? Anything else?
We're sad we're not there.
I feel like it's going to be especially silly this year.
Because do you think it's going to be watchable, or do you think they're going to fuck it up?
Oh, it'll be a shit show for sure.
It will be a shit show. Or as what did they say about the debate the other night? It will be a hot mess in a dumpster fire wrapped in a train wreck.
But it'll be better than that. It'll be at least a little bit better than the debate.
Could it be worse? Yeah. It couldn't be.
Great question.
Oh, no. We'll have some team executive stepping up to the mic. We're going to draft out of the National Team Development Program, Tyler Kleven. Look at the size of this boy. Such a good boy. He skates so well. Shut up, New Jersey. Shut up, New Jersey. I was really looking forward to going to the draft. I was going to run a train on some Schwartz's. I was going to eat all of the smoked meat and drink all of the amazing beers and hang out with my pals. And now I can't do that. And that makes me very sad.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. Are you guys, so what is the next week, or I guess it's 4 days or whatever, look like for you guys? Just constant media stuff and reprepping?
I got another podcast in exactly 1 minute, and
Rachel
and I are doing a podcast tomorrow for 2 hours in the morning.
It'll
be the same. I was saying, I'm just going to say the same words in different ways for the next 4 days.
No, we're doing a mock draft tomorrow. That's
yeah, different. You're right. That
I get to actually mock being my former employer, which will be fun.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need the quiz results. Oh yeah. Well, Cam can go, and then
it's cool. I got Danny. I'm happy about it, right? I just did it. I'm excited. There Beecher and I are both Danny. How about Ryan Beach coming out of the woodwork to take the quiz?
My favorite. Okay, who else did people get? Lauren got me, which is the greatest.
Okay, so I took it twice just because, and based on my computer background and Sam's hat, it will surprise nobody that I got Sam once and then I got Vanessa once.
That's a pretty good overlap.
So I feel you're Asian. Yeah, I feel it kind of fits me. I have parts of Vanessa and I also have parts of Sam.
There you go.
Awesome.
JD.
I'm very happy to report that I got Mal, my sister in serotonin deficits and Irish history memes. So that was a really cool result.
Thank you for joining us, you guys, in the midst of your very busy weeks. I guess everyone go look at Elite Prospects and Dauber. Is there anything else that I should promote?
And maybe don't harass people on Twitter. Let's get that one out there.
Yeah, don't harass people on Twitter. Be nice to JD. Stop sending mean stuff about JD to our podcast account.
Wait, is that
one guy did.
Oh my God.
That one guy did.
We posted that we were going to have you guys on, and somebody was like, why are you having JD there? He's like, I was going to listen, but JD is going to be there. It's like, okay, relax, everyone.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. We love you all.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Plug your Twitter handles.
Oh, yeah.
At Jake Dylan Burke.
I'm at Rachel Dory.
At Laura Kelly 24.
Someone talking to me. I stepped away.
Oh. Just say your Twitter handle.
Nice. Hockey_Robinson. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you so much again, you guys, for joining us. This was a lot of fun. We now know all our short kings and all our no stats, just vibes players heading into the draft in the next few days. You can find them again. Go to Elite Prospects. You can read all their draft rankings, Dauber Prospects as well for Cam. And you can find us on Twitter at BroadcastPod. You can email us at BroadcastPod@gmail.com. Also, rate, subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, etc. On behalf of the Broads, thank you so much, and we will see you next week. We'll see who the Canucks have drafted. Will it be a short king? Bye.